Good morning, Liberty. Well, my name is John Spear. I'll introduce myself. It's been a while. I'm the pastor here at Liberty Baptist Church, and it's great to see you all today. thank you. That's something I've struggled with. I always put it in my notes. Introduce yourself. Because that was something that I was told a long time ago. Introduce yourself when you get up there. It doesn't matter. Just introduce yourself. The last thing I ever do is say my name. I don't introduce myself ever, it seems. But anyway. You know, it is amazing how the Holy Spirit works and how things work out. You know, if you look at the screen this morning and just... I didn't talk to Laura this week about music, but... It's right on. It's spot on. You know, that's starting a new sermon series for the next few weeks, leading into revival. And I was just thinking about, you know, what can we look at next? We went through Ruth, and then we went into Nehemiah. And I thought, come to my mind, you know, the transformed. We're all transformed as believers. And as a believer, we all have a testimony. And it just got me to thinking about the different testimonies that we can see in the Bible. And that's what we're going to be looking at for the next few weeks leading up to our revival services, our testimonies from the Bible. And today we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 20 about the demon-possessed man, about Legion, and the testimony that he has. You know, that is our one thing that we can always tell about. That's the one thing we can always share. That's the one thing we got for sure, you know, is what Jesus' price that he paid on the cross, what difference did it make in my life? That's our testimony. And the question that I would ask us to ask upon ourselves is, you know, who's in control? In looking at this passage of Scripture, I want us to examine it, and I want us to ask, who is in control? If you would, in the honor and the reading of God's Word, would you please stand this morning? Again, we're going to be in Mark chapter 5, looking at verses 1 through 20. It says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gergesenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me.' For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered him, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' He also begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fled the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed, and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him, "Depart from our region." And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has come, has compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Let's pray. Lord, I'm so thankful for the delivering power that you provide, Lord. I'm so thankful for the eyes that you look at this world with. Your consideration to look upon people that may not fit the norm, Lord, but you still see their heart. You desire a relationship with them. You desire a relationship with me. I'm so thankful for that, Lord. And I just pray that you'll open your scriptures to us today. Just lead me to share your word, Lord. I'm so thankful for your son, Jesus. And I just pray that we can have eyes to see you for who you are, and that we can see this world the way you see it, Lord. So thankful for Jesus Christ, and it's in his holy name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So again, I have to ask, who is in control of your life? You know, that's the thing that we can see here in this testimony, is that this man, who obviously in this story he had family and friends, he had a life prior to this situation that he was in. And the Lord changed things so that he could have that life again. But for us, we need to look and we need to recognize our God. We need to recognize who our God is. You know, there are many things that can get us trapped. I don't know if anybody has anything in their life that is just like, I struggle with this. You know, it's my catch. It's my thing. It's my issue. We all have these things. I know we do. And identifying them and being able to address them is very important. You know, we're all human. We all have something that affects us, that comes between us and God, us and Jesus. You know, it is different for all of us. And we have a choice. You know, we can make that our God. We can focus on those things, or we can focus on the Lord and help, ask Him to help us overcome these things. You know, we see this story and we see this account of Jesus coming into this land, and it just so happened that there have been a lot of stuff going on. You know, Jesus has been talking about the parables, and then they get in the boat and there was a storm, and you know, a lot of stuff has been happening. Now they show up and this man who is demon-possessed comes worshiping, of all things, huh? He comes worshiping. Is that what we would expect? You know, it's talking about the true worship this morning and talking about us all desiring that true worship. The demon didn't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but he recognized him. He knew who he was, and he confessed that. This possessed man, you know, from this town had been cast out. He didn't fit into the norm. And they had tried. They had tried to break him. They had tried to bind him. They had tried to do these things to get him to fit into society, right? But it just didn't work. Things of this world won't work on things of that nature. You know, it takes someone like Jesus Christ, right? It takes Jesus Christ himself to overcome some situations like this. It says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, and immediately he came out of the tombs." That unclean spirit that no one could do anything with. And he worshiped. He called out to Jesus. Man, if only we did that. If we always called out to Jesus and we always looked upon Him and we called out to Him and we give Him that reverence that He deserves, that He needs. You know, for me, it's just overwhelming to look at this account. And this demon-possessed man, this guy who was outside of the norm of society, he was bad business. He was bad news, cutting himself, going through all these issues. But he recognizes Jesus Christ. He recognizes the power of Him. And I guess the thing that I'm struggling with is that as born-again believers, do we still have that same reverence for Jesus Christ? Do we look at Him and recognize what He can do? Do we recognize the price that He paid? Are we overwhelmed? Are we consumed? Are we willing to fall at His feet and to proclaim His name? I guess we all need to fit into the expectations of this world, though. You know, we can make the world our God. You know, and if we go down the wrong road of doing drugs or alcohol or things like that, we can make those our God. And it can happen without our willingness sometimes. You know, I feel like that may be the situation that this guy's in. We don't know how he got into this predicament. But at the end of the story, he tells him to go be with his friends and his family. So we know that he had a relationship with people. It's not that he was just born into this world demon-possessed. But something may have got a hold to him that he couldn't quite handle. You know, we can make God. We can make jobs our God. We can make money our God. There are so many things that we can make God. You know, but whatever we do, we need to make God priority one. That's what I'm trying to express today, is the importance of making God our top priority. Recognizing Jesus Christ for what He did. And that's, man, I don't know why that's so hard. It's just the sin nature that we have that comes between us and Him that tries to pull us apart. But no matter where you are, no matter what struggles you have, there's always hope. There's always a chance for that encounter with Jesus Christ. And that's all it takes, is that encounter with Jesus to make a difference in our life. Verse 6 says, whenever he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped Him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." You know, all of those things that I talked about are there. He proclaims Jesus Christ. He runs and worships Him. He recognizes Him as the Son of God, the Most High. And then He recognizes His power over Him. Do not torment me. He recognizes Jesus as almighty, all-powerful. How do we look at Jesus? How do you see Him? What would you label Him as? You know, this demon had an understanding of the Scriptures, and he had good theology. But he had chosen not to make Jesus his God. He had chosen not to have Him as Lord and Savior. We have to make that choice. We all have to make that choice. And I ask you today, who is your Savior? Who is your God? Who do you choose? Because you have that choice. You have that right. Verse 8 says, "For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country." You know, ain't that something? This demon recognizes Jesus, but he says, "I don't want to change." You ever known anyone like that? Man, have you ever been anyone like that? Are we like that today? You know, it can become a wall between our opportunity at salvation and our choice to not follow the Lord. Just simply because we don't want to give up the things of this world that we may feel like we have to give up. You know, it may be that I can't give up my drug. I can't give up my alcohol. I can't give up my internet. Whatever it may be that's coming between you and the Lord. We may choose that. And that's what this demon does. He says, don't send me out of this country. He liked where he was at. He was comfortable there. Second point I want us to look at today is that we have to choose our God. You know, that's what I was saying. He chose that he wanted to be there. He said, I don't want Jesus. I want to be in this country. I want to be in this man. I want to dwell in this place. I want to cause destruction and whatever I can do to tear people down, to take away from that relationship. But we have to choose our God. And verse 11 says, now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And now at once Jesus gave them permission. You know, whenever we choose to go a different route, Jesus gives us that opportunity. We're not forced to follow him. You know, we have a free will. And when you encounter Jesus, you can choose to go another route. But that's the thing, we must choose. We all must choose. And to choose not to choose is to choose. When you choose something over or something other than Jesus, the outcome will not be what you hope for. We can see that whenever the unclean spirits went out and they entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea, and they drowned in the sea. That's what we are all facing without Jesus. We're facing that destruction. We're facing that, in this instance, a self-destruction nearly. That's what we're facing without Jesus is death. You know, all these demons have possessed this one man. And I truly feel because of the God-given life that he had some willpower there, that he was able to resist some of it, that all those these demons had control and it caused him to be super strong and to be able to break chains. It caused him to hurt himself. It caused him to wail out and torment the town. But it didn't cause him to completely self-destruct. There was a little hope there. Whenever it entered the swine, there was none of this will, none of this soul that was able to fight against this destructive tendency that these demons had. And they self-destructed. You know, that's some hope that we have. You know, that's hope we have for all people, that there is a willingness. I feel like it's a God-given willingness to survive, to fight against these powers. You know, we're given a choice. Who do we choose as God? And you may look at me today and say, Brother John, I'm here. I'm at church. It should be obvious of who I choose. But just going to church doesn't always give us the relationship that we need. It needs to be a heart thing. It's not about what we do, but it's about how we act. It's about how we confess. It's about the true place where we put God in our life. You know, is he number one or is he just a part of it? Yeah, he's in here. I go to church. I'm good. You know, we saw in verse 6 that this demon ran and worshiped Jesus, but he did not make him as God. You know, just knowing Jesus isn't enough. He has to be our everything. There again, you may say, Brother John, you're making a big fuss about all of this. I'm not a bad person. You know, I'm not bad. I don't hurt anybody. That's an attitude that I lived with for many years of my life. I'm not a bad person. I'm a good guy. You know, I don't break the rules too much. I don't drive too fast. Not got too many tickets. I've not hurt anybody. You know, I do good. I'll volunteer sometimes. If I see some trash, I'll pick it up. You know, I'm doing good. But it's not those works. It's not those things that give us the relationship that we need for that salvation. That's not our testimony. You know, the testimony is not that I'm a pastor at a church. That's not my testimony. My testimony is that I was a sinner. And because Jesus Christ died on the cross, and I believe that, He died, He paid a debt to cover my sin that I could never pay. I accept Him as Lord and Savior. That's my testimony. Because of that payment, I'm no longer facing death, but I'm facing eternity in heaven with God. As a Christian, we have that testimony. We can proclaim it that I'm not going to die. I'm not dying. My eternity started that day that I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, that's the thing we think about, that one of these days we're going to be called into eternity, but eternity has begun. What eternity are you in? Are you in the eternity that we're given at birth, that we're going to live a life here on earth, that we're going to pass from this body, and then we're going to face judgment? And if we don't know Jesus, we're going to end up in a place called hell, which is complete separation from everything that's good. It's completely being separated from God. It's being separated from our loved ones. It's being separated from anything and everything that you could ever desire. It's torment. It's weeping. It's gnashing of teeth. It's all of those things. You know, I look at this earth, and I've talked about this song, probably one of my favorite songs, but what a day that'll be. No more sorrow, no more pain. You know, we sing about all these things. We look forward to this day. But all of those things that we're looking forward to getting rid of, there are so many people that's all they got. That and so much more. All of these bad things, all these struggles are going to be small considering the things that they're going to face in hell. We all need to have a testimony. We all need to be able to say what Jesus Christ has done for us. You know, verse 14 says, "So those who fed the swine, they fled. They went and told what had happened to this flock of, or this herd of pigs. And whenever people came to see what had happened, these folks made a choice. They didn't rejoice that the man had been healed. You know, they showed up and they were like, what has happened here? You got to think, this has been a pretty big ordeal. This guy that they've all dealt with, this guy that they're all so familiar with, he was a headache for them. He was a burden on them. But this guy was just like everybody else, sitting clothed, in his right mind, behaving. He didn't attack them when they showed up. But these folks made a choice. We've all got to make a choice. But they didn't rejoice that this man had been healed. They didn't worship Jesus for saving this man. They didn't seek out what he could do for them. They mourned their loss. In all truthfulness, these people were more sympathetic to the demon than Jesus. They could tolerate him living in the graves outside of the city and running around naked, screaming, harming himself, causing threats to them. They could handle all of that. But they begged Jesus to leave. You know, they had their encounter with Jesus, and they made their choice. And what did Jesus do? He got in the boat. You're not forced to follow Jesus. You must choose him. And whenever you do, you need to rejoice in what he has given you. Verse 18 goes on to say that he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you." And he departed, and he began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. He went and he shared his testimony. And not only did that testimony mean a change in his life, but it meant a change in so many others. They all marveled, it said. They all were astounded by what Jesus Christ had done. You know, I've heard so many testimonies in my life, and I absolutely love a testimony like this, where somebody was just at the end of their ropes, no hope, all was lost. But then Jesus come into their life and made a change that is unbelievable. Man, what a testimony that is. We all have that testimony. I had a Sunday school teacher. I would talk about, well, my testimony's not very strong. And she would go, "John Daniel, do not say that. You have a wonderful testimony." We all do. And whenever we realize that, we're truly realizing Jesus Christ for who he is. What can we learn from this? He went and he shared with all his friends and family about the good news of Jesus. That's what we can learn. We can go, we can share our testimonies. We can talk about the answered prayers that God has given us. We can talk about all of the instances of God's movement in our life. We can talk about the miraculous things that the Spirit has caused. We can talk about all of these things, but most and foremost, we can tell them what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross and the difference that he made for us, making a way for us to have eternity with God. You know, I look forward to that day. I look forward to being in heaven and to looking into the face of the Lord. But as a bonus, I look forward to the day that I can enter heaven and I can see my family. I'm so thankful for Jesus Christ, and I'm so thankful for that hope. You know, I've got family that's spread all over the country. Some of them I'm not seeing in years. But I know I can see them again. I know I can make a phone call. You know, I can connect. But no matter what, those who believe in Jesus Christ, we can rest assured that there will be a day that we will get to see them again. You know, I love family reunions. I love getting together and catching up with family. And man, what a family reunion that's going to be. What a wonderful day that will be. We need to be overwhelmed by what Jesus did. And by looking at testimonies, looking at our own testimonies, How has God transformed us? We were all dry bones, but life sprouted because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's no better day than today. All you have to do is to call on His name. And He will save you. He will come into your life and save you. Now, I'm not saying just call on His name. I'm not saying just repeat a prayer after me. I'm saying believe that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. Run to Him. Fall at His feet. Leave your burdens with Him. Rely on Him to help you get through those things that are binding you. You know, I know that this man that we were reading about in this account, this demon-possessed man, seeing the heart that he has after those demons are gone, I know that if he had the choice, he would have got rid of them himself. But he come to Jesus with his problems. He come to Jesus full of demons. And Jesus helped him overcome them. Don't ever think that I've got to get myself cleaned up. I would love to follow the Lord. I've got to get myself cleaned up first, though. We see the example right here that sometimes we need Him to clean us up, right? Not just sometimes, every time. All of us. We need Jesus Christ. And like I said, if you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be the day. I'll be standing down front here shortly. I'd be glad to walk you through the process. I'd be glad to help you to pray to Him. You know, it's not a simple matter of little things. It's a matter of eternal things. It's not just something that I did one Sunday morning or one evening at my house when the preacher came over. It's not some little thing that I did. It's some big thing that Jesus Christ did for us and that I accept. And because of that acceptance, it's made an eternal impact on my life. You can have that same impact. You can look forward to the day that you enter heaven. You know, so many people are afraid of death. And that's understandable. But the death that you need to be afraid of is not this physical death of this body. It's the death of not knowing Jesus Christ. It's the death of, I've left my body. I'm facing God. But I don't have Jesus Christ standing there for me to say, I paid His debt. And we can say, but listen, I did this. I sang in the choir that one time. I helped sweep the floor once. I stacked chairs. Those things are great. Those things come with the fellowship of a family like this, but those things don't account to our salvation. The only thing that can make that debt paid is the price that Jesus paid on the cross. And I'm so thankful for what He did for me and for all of us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love You. You know, I pray that every day I can have a heart that's more overwhelmed with You than it was the day before. I'm sorry for all those times that I miss what You do. You know, it's easy to just go about life. And it seems like there come times whenever we're just at the end of our rope. We have nowhere to turn. We have no idea what to do. and we finally turn to you. Lord, I pray that's not the heart of liberty. I don't see that as being the heart of liberty myself. I know that the relationship with you is an every second, an every minute, an everyday thing. Lord, I pray that you will work in the life of this church, that you'll put your protecting hand over each person. I pray that each of us here today, Lord, will be willing to confess that you are Jesus Christ, that you are God, that without you we have nothing. I pray that we are overwhelmed with you, that you influence our life so much that everybody that we come into contact with will say, what is different about you? I want to know. I want that. Let us be that light into this darkness of this world, Lord. I'm so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for that price he paid. I'm so thankful for my salvation. It's in his holy name I pray. Amen. If you need to make a decision today, now's the time. Be standing down front.